so at the end of the day, we as, you know, humans, we still have the power to decide how the technology is built and what is it used for. Think of a stat that I read recently, World Economic Forum estimates that by 2025, technology will create at least 12 million jobs. Then it destroys, and the jobs are focused on technology. So again, just helping create that awareness that AI is here to stay. How can we shift our fears to thinking about what skills we need to upgrade? So it's more of an upskilling question and reskilling the workforce.
This is the Definitely Uncertain podcast, brought to you by Gold Rock Capital. Each week, we look at how high net worth families can improve their lives, decisions, and investments in a deeply uncertain world. We always aim to provide practical information, even if we can't offer specific investment advice. This is the Definitely Uncertain podcast, and my name is Darren Rockman, and I'm a partner at Gold Rock Capital, the more than 20-year-old multifamily office servicing high net worth families in Israel and around the world. And welcome to the podcast to Rico Arora.
Thank you, Darren. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
It's a pleasure. So Rico is a senior family advisor at KPMG Family Office in Toronto, Canada, and she brings more than 20 years experience working as a consultant, both to private and to public enterprises. She leads the Family Dynamics and Governance practice and is the multifamily office advisor for many prominent Canadian families. And she also is an expert on the intersection between AI, artificial intelligence, and the family office world. And with artificial intelligence being such a huge topic and one that we're all hearing more and more about every single day, we thought we'd ask Rico to come in and talk to us a little bit about how AI is impacting the family office market and what the next few years are going to look like, and some of the opportunities and maybe some of the concerns. So that's why you're here, Rico. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do this.
Okay. So let's start by saying, how did you get into this interesting combination of family offices and AI? You're the first and only person I know that's doing this.
That's amazing. Well, I think a bit by accident, if I may say, but I would, you know, a pleasant one. So just a little bit about my background. So I over 20 years of experience specializing in human capital consulting. You know, that includes leadership development, facilitation. And by way of that, I started working with technology, like just technology transformation projects. So I would come in as a management consultant, and I would be helping public and private organizations lead large technology projects. Latter part of those years were spent in helping companies understand the impact of new technologies. We started putting out thought leadership and starting assessing, what will the adoption of AI and robotic process automation, how can it streamline day-to-day operations? What is a broader impact on the workforce? And then the last 4+ years, I transitioned all of that experience into our family office practice.
Right.
And now I'm at the intersection of, navigating complexity for family offices, but private enterprises, ultra high net worth families, and bringing all of that experience, to the table.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's get into AI. I think everybody understands this is only the beginning. Everyone's sort of playing around with ChatGPT, and a friend of mine told me that the other day that he's chose a Paris hotel using ChatGPT, and people writing emails and all that type of stuff. Perhaps give us some examples as to how you see artificial intelligence impacting the family office and the broader finance world over the next 5 years. Where are we going to see the changes?
So I agree. This is just the beginning. For years we've been talking about digitization and the impact it will have on businesses. And I think with the pandemic, what we're seeing now is a rapid AI adoption across industries. I think artificial intelligence in finance truly has the power to transform the end-to-end experience, you know, right from accessing money to borrowing, to lending, to saving, and as well as to investing, but also streamlining the experience overall. So some of the examples I would say that stand out for me, you know, that have the power to shape this industry in the next 5 years would be how financial markets are leveraging machine learning to identify risks. You know, there's AI models being developed to study alternative data sets to predict better outcomes. How we improve online financial security. We've all been privy to, you know, frauds and very prevalent security attacks. AI truly has, I think, you know, great opportunity in improving security overall. And I think the last one I would mention is how AI can help raise capital, identify and analyze investors, do due diligence, and just overall streamline operational sort of processes so that advisors can truly, you know, advise the clients with more strategic insights.
Right. So that's both on the capital raising, but also the capital allocation piece, which is obviously important to family offices.
Absolutely. What we're seeing, and you know, at KPMG Family Office, we've invested a lot in AI tools. Just, you know, we're always faced with a huge amount of data, whether it be, you know, financial data, investment, or legal data. So AI has played a key role in just synthesizing, you know, huge amounts of data, helping us, you know, have more insights at a faster pace. And also, in the end, providing the client with just, you know, an integrated view of their entire portfolio. And then helping them make better decisions when it comes to investment.
Can you perhaps give me an example of that today? You know, we're all sort of, you know, thinking about what the future is, but you know, an example of how AI is being used in a family office context, March 2023. It's actually the 23rd of March 2023, so it's 23/3/23. It's a good date. So yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of family office platforms, including ours, we are using AI and robotic process automation to help, you know, incorporate a lot of data with certain platforms to take banking feeds, all of the investment brokerages accounts, synthesize the data, and create dashboards for the client. So that's, you know, one simple way where we're actually supporting faster decision making. The second example would be, you know, creating better and faster, you know, tax reporting. Accounts payable is a huge administrative burden for a lot of family offices. So we're, again, just expediting the process by using AI to read invoices and expedite processing. And then I would say the last one, you know, would be helping clients get to the bottom of some of their, you know, asset classes. Normally, you know, if they have a large portfolio, understanding where they're getting the best returns, you know, what are the best in class benchmarks out there. You know, AI is actually helping make sense of all of that data so that then the client just needs to, you know, review what's put in front of them and then easily make decisions, hire or fire, you know, the best managers
around. And of course, there's also the correlation piece. And one of the things that, you know, when you build a very diverse portfolio, one of the things that you risk is that elements within the portfolio, which you think are not correlated, actually turn out to be highly correlated. And that's, I suppose, another way where the AI is going to help improve over time the creation and customization of client portfolios.
Yeah. And regardless of, you know, there's such sophisticated platforms out there that, you know, have the ability to process and standardize data from any source, you know, regardless of the currency, the type of transaction or the asset type. So I think, you know, that integrated seamless experience did not exist before. And, you know, AI has really helped us with that.
Right, right. Okay. So for a family that's interested in this and who's saying, we want to take the best advantage of the tools today and also be prepared for those tools tomorrow, how do you go about it?
So I say the first step would be understanding what's right for you and building an understanding of how AI works. There's certainly a lot of fears and anxieties out there, you know, ethical considerations that family and family offices have. So, you know, I would say that would be a starting point. Understand what it means. Involve all of your key stakeholders, including, you know, the rising generation that are involved in the space. And then manage expectations for what AI is able to deliver for your current state, but also for your future state. And then, you know, continue to learn, test out certain platforms. But overall, have a change management program. And, you know, if you've got an advisor that's supporting with you on the journey, leverage them to ensure that, you know, your AI implementation is successful.
Right. And is that that sort of change management advisor, is that someone that comes from the IT world? Is that someone that comes from the family office world, the finance world? What type of leadership do you need for that process?
Yeah, so depending on the scale of the AI adoption, I would say, you know, skill set around change management usually comes from, you know, technology transformation. So there's consulting organizations that will have that skill set embedded within their IT or tech implementation model. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially starting from what is the change that you're looking to implement? You know, who are the end stakeholders in mind, and just making sure that the change actually sticks. Or it could be an internal resource that is really interested in technology and takes time to really understand and build out a proper change and implementation plan.
Right. And I think your point about expectation management is good. And you know, we've been here at Goldrock, been implementing an AI-based product for now, I think, 6 months, and it's been a struggle. It's not been plain sailing, and the promise is there, and we're really excited about it, but, you know, there are speed bumps along the way.
Sure, and I would say there is a misconception that, you know, like, oh, AI is a technology of the future, right. When in reality, most individuals, most of us are interacting with AI even when we don't know it on a day-to-day basis. And you know, a lot of family offices are asking questions. And, you know, I would say there are many clients that I'm dealing with now, particularly this year, where they've started to ask the question to say, okay, how can we do this much faster? Yeah. We're spent way too much time, you know, we're living in archaic sort of Excel systems analyzing.
Right.
Things, or our CIO is not as sophisticated. So truly, you know, the AI adoption this year in particular, I would think is much higher. At least people are asking the question.
Okay. So I want to pick up on a point, a word you threw in before, and that is the word fear. You know, 1987, a cinema in Jerusalem, I went and saw RoboCop. And that was probably early sort of fear-mongering movie about, you know, AI gone wild. What are, you know, the concerns that people have, you know, job destruction, security, ethical considerations, where does this data go? Even the people creating AI don't really have a good handle on what the AI is doing with the data. So how do you, as an advisor to families, answer those concerns?
I would separate the two themes around, you know, fear and anxieties and ethical considerations in how AI is built and deployed. So when it comes to addressing fear and anxiety of clients, I think an important step I like to take, you know, when I'm chatting with clients is helping them understand AI just in more broadly. You know, sometimes we actually bring in the family office teams, including, you know, families into our offices and do a broader learning session to debunk the myths of what AI is not. And then help them understand where their fears are realistic or unrealistic. you know, for example, ChatGPT, which has been, you know, hugely popular, and now, you know, GPT-4 that was just launched, I think, you know, 10 days ago, is a large language model designed and built by humans. So at the end of the day, we as, you know, humans, we still have the power to decide how the technology is built and what is it used for. If I, you know, think of a stat that I read recently, World Economic Forum estimates that by 2025, technology will create at least 12 million jobs. Then it destroys, and the jobs are focused on technology. So again, just helping create that awareness that AI is here to stay. You know, how can we shift our fears to thinking about what skills we need to upgrade? So it's more of an upskilling question and reskilling the workforce. That usually shifts the conversation. And then regarding the ethical considerations, I think being mindful of how AI can be used to perform certain tasks. If you're worried about where the data is stored, you know, one of the things that we really take great care of is ensuring that the Canada, you know, the service stored locally in Canada, and that is usually very important to our clients. So asking the right questions will really help cultivate that digital mindset that I think is at a foundational level of implementing some of these tools.
Okay, interesting. Let's now sort of switch back to the investment management piece, okay, which is probably one of the more obvious places where I can improve the life of the family office. What are you seeing today in terms of tools, actual tools available, and what are you expecting in the near future?
So I would say top use cases for AI in the family office investment management world would be access to greater insights. So I talked about a couple of tools we're using for our clients that are taking huge amounts of data across a diverse portfolio, and just helping us as advisors help make better decisions for our clients. Some of them have the capability to read earning transcripts even, and, you know, assessing future growth opportunities and help generate the alpha, so to say, for the client. The second one would be enhancing operational efficiency. So we talked about, you know, streamlining bill payments, accounts payable, accounting bookkeeping type of functions, including tax and legal. So that has been hugely beneficial for our clients. We can give them faster service. They have access to all of their data and status updates at their fingertips. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, helping them manage risk. So by automating some of the cybersecurity you know, processes that we have in place, we're now able to help our clients predict some of the cybersecurity risks that may be present in the family office ecosystem.
Right. Let's just focus a little bit about the cybersecurity, because that's an element that, you know, people don't really talk about that much, which is, you know, using AI, certainly in the family office context, using AI to reduce risk. Maybe talk about some of the, you know, go into a little bit about the use cases around.
Mm-hmm. So I can say, from example, we've had a number of cases with our clients in the last few years where as a quarterback of the family, I get a phone call and they have been unfortunately part of a very sophisticated cybersecurity threat, you know, which could lead to a drain of, you know, the hard-earned capital. So we've got cybersecurity specialists in-house that could come in. And by using some of these technology tools, they can really, you know, get to the bottom of where the threat's coming from. So analyzing, you know, emails, various technology, you know, laptops, computers, and so on, by simply, you know, sitting in their office and understanding where the gaps are and quickly create a response plan for them.
Right. Gap analysis. Being the guard at the gate, those types of things, or the sort of cyber overlay.
Correct. And hugely important and often neglected one in this space. And, you know, with technology getting more advanced, you know, the cyber threats are certainly getting even more advanced. So getting ahead of that, proactively managing it, even by some cyber security assessments. So in some cases now where we've helped create that awareness, we go in on a periodic basis and help our clients, again, using some technology tools to do the current state analysis, but before it's become a threat, and help them, you know, adopt security measures to ensure that, you know, they're always staying ahead.
Right. Do you also make sure that they don't get onto public Wi-Fi?
It's always a recommendation, especially, you know, when they're on a yacht somewhere in Europe, right?
Or in an airport lounge.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. What percentage of the families that you're talking to would you say are showing an interest in this, a serious interest in this area? You know, is this, you know, every other day you're getting a call? Is it building up?
I think it's building up. Do we have as much momentum as we would expect? No. I would say percentage-wise, it's hard to say, but 20 to 30% of the families are taking this very seriously. And I would say there are some that are much ahead in the journey and have already started adopting, you know, some AI into their family office ecosystem, versus others are just getting started, asking the questions and assessing their own tolerance to AI.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, we made the transition here from sort of, you know, Excel to systems, you know, 10, 12 years ago, and then have been improving those systems as you go along. And what we're finding is that the AI modules are now starting to be built in to the sort of core state-of-the-art systems that we're using. So It's not necessarily, hey, I need to get AI here, but, you know, how is AI going to improve the systems that I already have?
Absolutely. Yeah, something simple comes to mind. So we all in large organizations are used to using Microsoft. Just in the last 2 to 3 years, Microsoft has put in a huge amount of investment in simplifying their collaboration tools. You know, it was recently in the news that they will now be leveraging GPT-4 and tools of the world to incorporate into PowerPoint and some of the other Microsoft platforms to, you know, cut out sort of the basic work that we would do. So I think more and more technology platforms have AI already integrated, believe it or not, into their platforms. Yeah.
Right. Do you see that, you know, there's been a sort of move on the investment side, particularly in private capital? So, you know, there's, you know, public markets, but there's also venture capital, private equity, private credit, real estate. There's been a move there toward democratization of those products. Do you see AI having a role in the democratization of those products? And does that mean, you know, one of the advantages of family offices, which have patient long-term capital, is that they've been able to take advantage alovongside, you know, big institutions like sovereign wealth funds of, you know, long-term opportunities and really draw, you know, better returns. So, you know, if the stock market compounds at X, so, you know, private credit or private equity should compound at higher than that. Do you see AI as moving forward that democratization, and what does that mean for family offices and their advantages?
I think it's hard to have a black and white answer to that. I think what I'll say is, it's important for family offices to, again, just, you know, see technology, AI, and you know, digitization in general as their own sort of competitive advantage. You know, I talked earlier about investment reporting solutions on the market that are using artificial intelligence and machine learning to streamline their reporting. And these innovations, I find in particular, are very attractive to family offices, where, you know, they can integrate those predictive analytics, you know, investment recommendations, and take it into their overall sort of decision making system. It will certainly cause a big shift, I think, as you know, how the financial markets are streamlining their own process in terms of looking at different data sets, you know, like weather forecasts or transportation trends or what have you. But previously, that would have taken a lot longer to, you know, bake it into the overall, I would say, recommendation. So I think it will continue to shift in the positive direction, and the meaningful insights, you know, will make the family offices much more, I would say, stronger in, you know, in their ability to also advise their own sort of, you know, families or family office leaders.
Got it. Okay. So for a family that is beginning on this journey and saying, hey, Rick, I have no idea what you're talking about. I played around with ChatGPT. You know, that was fun. But, yeah, you know, I have my family office. What would be the first steps for a family saying, yeah, this is interesting, but I just don't know how to get started?
Yeah, I would say identify what's your biggest pain point right now. You know, think about where are you spending your most time, where you're like, this is not a value add. It's not helping me, you know, gain any value or make money. So start small, identify, you know, is there a tool out there that could actually simplify, your life? You and I earlier, I think we're chatting about personal assistants, and, you know, tons of tools are being developed. Is there one tool that solves it all? Probably not. But there could be, you know, a small task that you could start to outsource to AI, right? Like by calendaring, something small. And then the next step would be, you know, test out a few tools and see if it works for yourself. And then the next, you know, take the next big step to something else. You know, maybe you're interested in a robo, you know, advisor type of a model for your own financial or, you know, picking stocks. So I would say start small.
And then eventually get to reporting and risk and security.
Correct. Yeah. Because I think everyone in their ecosystem has various pain points. So, you know, mapping them all out and identifying how does that fit in with your goal. Or broader objectives.
Right. Okay. Now I'm going to throw out a sort of final question for you. What does the world look like 5-10 years from now when AI is this, you know, at least according to today's expectations, this sort of ubiquitous, you know, all pervasive influence in our lives, you know, sort of transformational in the same way, you know, the iPhone was, you know, in, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
I think it'll be a transparent world. I truly think that AI has the power to create greater transparency for all industries, for all stakeholders. And with transparency, you know, a better, more secure world where, you know, every day folks are not waking up thinking, you know, what is the impact of technology in my life? And I think it would have addressed all fears and anxieties in my mind. You know, help focus all of us, use our human brains for more strategic, higher value things and cut down sort of the day-to-day mundane aspects. It will certainly cause a huge upskilling of the skills. So I think we'll see a gradual shift, you know, in the next 2 years on, okay, you know, you need to retrain all your workforce to really adopt AI. So I think I'm very hopeful and positive. It will be a much better world, and it will leave us all with more time to enjoy, you know, the finer things in life as we all desire to.
Okay. And the most important question is it going to help central bankers not make a mistake?
I think data accuracy should be one of the first things, you know, banks. And I think we're seeing use cases of that already today. Data accuracy, you know, reducing human error is certainly something that AI has helped address. That is where, you know, an advisor comes in and all they have to do is just take 100% of the data, add on their sort of strategic insights and deliver to the client. So absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, Rica, thank you. This has been really, really interesting. It's a brand new world, and you know, maybe we'll bring you back sometime in the future, and we can look back and say, ha, this is what we thought in 2023, and look how much faster it's gone.
Certainly. Thank you, Darren. It was an absolute pleasure, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. And for all of you listening, thanks for tuning in, and there'll be more episodes coming your way soon. Thanks, Erica. Thanks, everybody.